Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local wrestling scene in and around Georgia, as well as interviews with newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
Happy Labor Day from Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com. Charles Anschutz is not going to be able to join us tonight, but we do have, as announced last week, the return of former GWN co-host Matt Hinkins. So welcome back to the show, Matt.
You call the bullpen and you get the closer. You tap for the right end. I'm always here. I guess I'm going to the starting rotation now. This is great. I want to be the fourth starter, and I don't want to work a lot of left-handers.
All right. I'll see what I can do. But I appreciate you coming back. Of course, moving forward, it will be a trio once again, me, Charles, and Matt. So things should be good. I always liked working with Matt and Danny a while back, and so now we got Charles instead of Danny. Danny only, for those who don't know who I'm talking about.
Tomato, tomato, right?
So how was your weekend, Matt?
It was more eventful than I thought it was going to be. I had, you know, after we had PCW on Saturday night, my plan was to play about 48 hours of Metal Gear after that. But I wound up at the Crimson, the former TNA guy Crimson, has started a show that was in Clarksville, Tennessee. So I wound up over there by circumstances, but I'm actually really glad I went. They ran a really good show. Building is excellent, great place for wrestling, and just one of those shows that you could tell with a discerning eye that it had some of the trappings of someone running their first show who doesn't know all the things. If you're used to being in the back and you just have to go do your match, a lot of things change when all of it falls on you. So I look for a lot of those things to get tightened up, though. But as far as action in the ring, couldn't be topped. And a few local talents were there. The Young Lions were on, and they had a really good match with the Tate Twins. And then the Washington Bullets, apparently their reign of terror just continues everywhere as we saw in PCW, they just took it right on, and they attacked Tracy Smothers because of his propensity to carry around the rebel flag. And someone made the save. Tracy gets the win and gets the pinfall in the tag match, but the Bullets hung his tag team partner from a noose that John Williams apparently just has around now. So standard night of wrestling, I suppose.
Well, that's strange. I saw the Bullets at Dragon Con on Friday. Of course, they were part of the event, the wrestling event. But then we ended up walking around, ran into former PCW champion Mason, and Reverend Waylon Grimm was there as well. So it was a bit of a reunion, but they were in much better spirits when I saw them last on Friday. So.
Well, somewhere between here and there, they became very angry.
What did you say the name of that promotion is?
It's TNT, and I forget what it stands. Top Notch Talent, I think, something like that. It is what it is. This was their first show, but I think they're looking to go maybe once every month or so.
And where is it in Tennessee?
It is in Clarksville, which is maybe 40 minutes outside of Nashville, almost to Kentucky.
Okay. Well,
but
I'll
a
look
nice
that up.
Drive, but, you know, on a long weekend, it didn't turn out to be so bad. I saw Scott Hensley over there as well, you know, who writes a lot of stuff up for North Georgia and the area here. He made the trip over as well. So looks like, you know, you never know what's going to work, what's not going to work. But I'll say this about Clarksville, Tennessee. They really wanted to see wrestling. I mean, it was just one of those nights where you know, you never know what kind of crowd you're going to get, but this was a bunch that did not care. They were there to do their job as fans, and they, you know, cheered for the good guys, hated the bad guys, and they never really lost it. And it was a show that ran a little bit longer than maybe you would like it to, but they were right there till the end.
Very good. Well, as I mentioned, I was at Dragon Con all weekend. I didn't go back today, the final day, mostly because I woke up and my feet hurt from walking between six hotels and large crowds of people. And I did a little bit of cosplay myself, so I wasn't wearing the most comfortable shoes all the time. So my feet hurt, and I basically woke up and just wanted to go back to sleep, which is pretty much what I did intermittently throughout the day today.
It's a good move, but I heard nothing but good things about the Dragon Con show.
Yeah, it was I agree with Larry Goodman. You know, his report is up at gwhnewsandnotes.blogspot.com. I agree that it was one of the better Dragon Con wrestling shows. Of course, you know, Tiny, the guy who organized those events for the past, I think, 14 years maybe, passed away a few months ago. So the whole show was dedicated to him. It was a tag team tournament, as we've talked about with our guests here over the past few weeks. He was a big fan of tag team wrestling. So then there was a battle royal as well. But I think what usually what the faults of Dragon Con wrestling typically is just feels kind of thrown together. It doesn't feel like anything's happening for any reason a lot of times. That's not always the case, but when there is anything to criticize about it, that's usually what it is. And this time there wasn't any room for that. The whole thing was a tournament, so everything had a purpose. And it was I guess he got inducted into the Dragon Con Wrestling Hall of Fame and also won both the Tag Team Cup and the Singles Cup, which essentially means he's the champion until next year when he has to defend that cup. I don't remember the circumstances of – typically it's defended each year, but this year the winner of the Battle Royal won the cup. So I don't know if the previous champion – I don't remember who the champion was from a year ago. So,
I cannot recall myself either. Was it Seth DeLay? I've been out of the loop a little bit. Was that DeLay? Was he the last person to win it?
I don't know, but he was there on Friday, so he could have defended it. Or maybe they just decided, since the rest of the show was dedicated to tag team wrestling, that they would just have a battle royal to determine this year's
the whole thing open.
Champion.
And I think, like you said, you know, the fact that they're going to have it next year was the best news to come out of there, because it was, you know, people didn't know when a guy's been running a thing that long, you don't exactly know what the contingency plan is, but all reports indicate that it's been somebody's going to take up the banner and keep it rolling. And you know, that show means a lot to, especially the guys who are on it. You know, they some guys, you know, that's the only show they might work all year. And for some wrestling fans, that might be the only wrestling show they see all year. So it's good to keep it around.
Yeah, definitely. And I don't know. I assume AJ, who was Tiny's partner, is going to keep going, and Slim J's been booking the show for many years, so I think he's still going to be involved, and then Tiny's wife kind of filled in, so I think that is the trio that will keep it going, but I'm not certain of that, and I'm sure a lot could change between now and next Labor Day weekend, so we will report back on that in a year. So tonight we've got JT Dunn, who I guess has gone by many nicknames, the Juice, Wrestling Savior or something to that effect, Professional Wrestling Savior. And I think the most recent one is That New Knockout Kid, because I think currently he's tag teaming with Chris Hero, who has a similar moniker for his elbow knockout. So we'll be talking to him around 7:30, but let's catch up with you, Matt. Last time you were co-host, well, I guess you filled in as co-host a few weeks ago, but when you were a regular co-host on the show, you were essentially a big fan who was getting into the business in various ways, one of which was co-hosting this show. But you've gone a lot farther than that since then. So, you know, just let everybody know what you do and where you do it and what you have coming up.
I've done some different things, I guess. You know, I've been known to have a different persona. I've managed Shane Marks, Jagged Edge. Any black guy in the state, I've probably managed him at some point along the way. But as DeWitt Dawson, and, you know, that was really all I wanted. You know, that was the thing I was kind of transitioning into doing as I was making my way from the show last time, and that went really well. We had tag team title runs at UIW, at Peach State, at DSCW, in various combinations. But Shane Marks has always been sort of the constant among all of it, and I'm lucky for that. And past that, very unexpectedly, I became part of the booking crew at PCW. And anybody that knows me or any history about me knows that PCW was always home. That was the place that when I moved to Georgia, I just did a simple Google search for independent wrestling in Georgia. That was the first one I saw. That was the first show I went to, and I was blown away. You know, it was the first independent show I'd ever seen, and you know, at that time, I didn't care if I saw anyone else do one because I had found my place. And, you know, during the Academy theater days, I might have missed 2-3 shows in a 4-year span. And, you know, that again, that's all I wanted. I didn't, you know, a lot of people talk about, it's my dream to get in the business, all that. That was never my dream. You know, I just loved wrestling, and I just wanted to watch it and talk about it and occasionally hang out with the guys that did it. But it's a weird world, and kind of wound up in the driver's seat of a lot of the goings-on behind the scenes at PCW. As they transitioned to Porterdale, and Shane Mackey, who did a really good job of holding down the fort during a lot of transition. You know, Steve Flattner moves to Florida. It's kind of up in the air about what's going to happen, and everybody involved loved it so much that said, we can make this work with Steve not being there. And Shane Mackey had to tote a big, heavy load, as you know, because, Jonathan, you know, you were there for a lot of those Academy shows, and it was a very specific audience and a very distinct feel to that show. And upon moving to Porterdale, that's a different place, a different kind of crowd. Porterdale's a very old wrestling town, and maybe the things that work in Avondale don't translate as well to Porterdale. And Mackey held the fort and in a good shape, and I guess right around it would have been May of last year, he had things come up, and he just didn't have the availability to do it anymore, and so it got handed to a group of us, and off we went. And we came in with a couple, three shows before it was time for Revolutionary War Games, so that was our first big test, and we got through that, and then next up was Sacred Ground 5, and we got through that, so we've just kind of hit our groove, and we've been rolling on ever since.
So for a little over a year, you've been doing that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. And so two things I want to touch on that you just mentioned. First of all, when you say you missed 2 or 3 shows in a 4-year span, that was a show that happened every Friday night. So
yeah,
it's not a monthly or every 2 weeks like most independent promoters, or like it is now in Porterdale. So
right.
Missing 2 or 3 shows in 4 years is definitely shows your dedication.
Logged some hours and, you know, doubled down when it was Masquerade Day and and I just missed the Jungle by just a couple weeks when those shows were still going. So, yeah, saw a lot of stuff. And, you know, I got the Dynamite Soul, who wrestled at PCW for a while before he went on and enlisted in the Air Force, I believe it is. He also taped most of those shows. And I felt like it was Christmas a couple days ago. I get home, and there's a hard drive that's been delivered to my house of all the footage that he's had over his time there, which was basically the same time, you know, I was there those 4 years at the Academy. And
mm-hmm.
and just kind of going through there, man, there was so much that went on. And the fact that Sacred Ground this year will be back in that old Academy building You know, the Academy Theater closed shortly after PCW left, and
well,
someone bought the building.
It still exists. Academy Theater as an entity is now, I think, in Hapeville, but the building itself
moved to Hapeville,
is something different. So, continue.
Yeah. And so they kind of gutted the building, and, you know, and Avondale Estates went through sort of a big resurgence itself. Palookaville moved in, and that helped a lot of things. And now there's my parents' basement, that nice bar is down the street. There's a coffee shop, and there's this thing and that thing. So that whole area is just growing again. And what they did with the old building was they just gutted it. They put a shop in the place where PCW used to actually run, which was in sort of the back room of that building. But the front room now is just event space. And as we were toyed with the idea of we wanted to do Sacred Ground sort of as a destination this year, we've been lucky to have Porterdale be so supportive of us in the transition between Academy and, you know, and where we went after that. And Sacred Ground has been there for the last three years. Felt like, hey, let's try something different. But we don't want to leave Porterdale out. So we didn't want to just do it somewhere that was, we're just going to do it, you know, in Atlanta for the sake of doing it in Atlanta, or we're going to do it in a different building for the sake of doing it in a different place. We wanted it to make it work. We wanted to make it be a big event that everybody could get extremely crazy about. And so that space was available. We got it on the books. And so in a stroke of genius or madness, I don't know which just yet, but we're going to, on September 26th, we're going to start Sacred Ground in the main event in Porterdale at like 5 o'clock. And we're going to have a portion of the show there. And then for anybody who purchases the package, they can get in a van or get on a bus that we will provide, and we will take them to Avondale, and we'll have the second half of Sacred Ground in our old building in Avondale Estates.
That is news to me. I did see a post today that mentioned it was going to be in both places, but prior to today, I thought it was, originally I saw a different venue, and then it was the old Academy Theater space. And I'm still trying to visualize how that's even going to happen based on, so it's going to be in what used to be the entrance and where you bought tickets and the smaller theater space.
Yes. What they've done with that is inside baseball, I guess, but for anybody who's ever in that building was, you know, where the concession area was, off to the right was the theater area, and in the back was where the wrestling was. Well, they have flattened out, taken out everything from the concession area over to the wall. So there's just empty space there.
So all the walls that used to be there are gone and everything?
Yep, everything's gone. And it looks great. It's they haven't done a ton of things in there, I don't think, because the space has really just been up and running for a few months now. So what a great christening to have the rowdy PCW crowd back in. So the last couple weeks or months so now has been rallying up all the old troops that we can find to come back in. You know, guys who have moved on, done this thing, done that thing, may not be involved with the show anymore, but anybody who's ever worked at that Avondale building, we've put in some feelers to come back and be a part of Sacred Ground Chapter 6.
So do you know yet any of the matches and which ones will take place at which venues?
Yeah, we do. The original plan was to have both semifinal matches of the tag team season take place in Porterdale, and then one other match. We have not announced that match just yet. But developments from Saturday night, Carpenter has challenged Johnny Danger and Devlin Valak to put up their spot in the Sacred Ground semifinal up on September the 19th at our regular show in Porterdale. So we'll still have one of the tag team semifinal matches there, and we can actually know who's going to be in that. It's going to be the Movement, Chip Hazard and Talon Williams, versus the Big F and Deal, Jeter and Brian Blaze, for the spot in the final, as well as a couple other things that will take place out there. And also what spun out of Saturday night was this Platinum Classic. And so this Platinum Classic is a tournament for the number one contendership of the PCW title. And through much heartache and much suffering, Jeter is the man who emerged victorious in that. And I know you might say, oh, obviously, he's Jeter, right? Of course he won. But in the first round, he wrestled who we thought was someone called the Nonstop Party Machine, who turned out to be Carpenter, who just assaulted Jeter head and neck with a bat. What a lot of people don't know is, Sacred Ground Chapter 5, Jeter got a major concussion in the match between himself and the Bullets and Los Pendejos and Vordell Walker as his partner. He just got blasted several times. You can imagine in a match with those guys, somebody's going to get knocked around. Well, Jeter was the biggest target, so he took the biggest hit. And he's been dealing with the concussion stuff for a while. And Carpenter focused on that, and he had to fight Brian Kane in the second round. And again, same deal. Brian Kane's constantly just bad. Every move's focused on his head. He gets through that. And then in the finals, Waits Bill the Butcher. But Jeter persevered, made it through, and he will now take on the PCW heavyweight champions, the Washington Bullets, at Sacred Ground.
So he potentially will have two matches at Sacred Ground is what you're saying, right?
Potentially. He could leave there with all of the hardware that is currently in the possession of the Washington Bullets. The Bullets removed themselves from the tag team season as they won the heavyweight championship. So we will definitely have a new tag team season winner. Potentially could be Jeter and Brian Blaze, and Jeter could go on to capture the title in the main event as well. So, and, you know, the Washington Bullets were one of the reasons why I was at every one of those shows on Friday night. I loved them, and more importantly to me, my daughter loved them. And it was just mind-blowing that, you know, they were presented an opportunity by Carpenter to win the title, but they shortcutted their way to it, and I mistakenly let my emotions get the better of me and confronted them about it. And as you mentioned, Chris Hero style, caught John Williams' elbow right to my jaw, so I learned my place pretty quickly. So it's been a lot going, a lot of uproar, and the PCW fans, as much as they loved the Bullets prior to, they are just detested now. I mean, just hated on every level. So that main event is going to be raucous, to say the least.
So the main event will be in Porterdale?
The main event will be in Avondale.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm sure we'll talk more about in the coming weeks, but we've got a caller. Let's see who we've got. You're on Georgia Wrestling Now. Who is this? 615 number?
Hello.
Is this Chicken Hat Charles?
Yes, this is him.
Some things never
change.
How
are you tonight?
Fine, thank you. Well, right now my brother and I are doing a bit of laundry. And basically we just got back from it right now.
Well, that is great to hear.
Right.
Did you have a question about Sacred Ground or PCW or anything else?
No, I was just listening.
Oh, okay.
All right. There we go. Come on.
So did you accidentally indicate that you wanted to ask a question?
Yeah, it was accidental.
Oh.
I apologize.
Oh, no problem. Well, enjoy your laundry, and I'm sure we'll hear from you again soon.
Yes.
All
As
right.
It is Labor Day, I hope Chicken Hat knows that white pants are no longer acceptable. A lesson that I wish Quasimandisco would learn.
Yeah, I don't know if Quasi will ever get that memo.
He didn't get that one, but I can say that he did get another memo, and it was from Lady Tapa, or Tapa. I never know if it's a long A or a short A. And I will try not to let her know that I don't know that. But Quasimandisco has consorted with her to have her come to sacred ground and face off against Miss Rachel.
This is, I believe it's Tapa from, she was in TNA and OVW, correct?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, and isn't she's somebody's daughter or niece? Barbarians?
Yes, and that seems to be accurate. I will not venture a guess, but that does ring a bell. I know she's, like you said, been in TNA, currently wrestling with Global Force, and Quasimandisco has once again focused his attention on Miss Rachel. As we saw, you know, 4th of July, Angelina Love came in at Quasi's behest to try to get rid of Miss Rachel. That did not work out so well for him. But Lady Tapa is terrifying just when you get right down to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so Rachel, who is really starting to blossom, really, she's getting out. She's working other places. She's had, as I mentioned, she wrestled Angelina Love at 4th of July in Porterdale. She wrestled LaFisto earlier this year at Big Woods at DSCW. And so the challengers just keep getting bigger and stronger for her.
Yeah, indeed. Well, I look forward to seeing that one for sure. I was a fan of hers, and I was surprised when TNA let her go because she had the potential to bring a lot to their knockouts division, and was at the time, I think.
Yeah. I think that's the thing you could say about most things that TNA has done in most recently.
Yeah, well, I don't have cable of any kind, let alone the package that includes channels as high as the one that they're currently on. So I haven't seen a TNA show in quite a while.
I think I have the channel, but I haven't seen much of it myself. I stay very busy with my own wrestling endeavors. It gets hard to keep up with everything that's available. I mean, we are in a period where we are almost inundated with what's available to us.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I have enough just with what I can find online with Ring of Honor, and OVW shows its show on its website. There currently are still Anarchy episodes being aired on YouTube, but I think they only have a handful of those left.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if the whatever this new incarnation, which we will talk about on the show soon, will continue the TV show or what's going to go on there. But anyway, I guess we should get ready for JT Dunn. I'll be honest, I don't know a whole lot about him. I know he's a Northeastern wrestler. I think he's done some stuff for Beyond Wrestling and Combat Zone Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Held some tag team titles at various places. I don't know if he currently is holding any titles, but
I think
he's going to be challenging.
He's the DZW tag champion.
He is currently?
I think so.
Well, we will find out shortly. We can
find
just ask him. But he will be challenging for a title when he comes. I believe this is going to be his Georgia debut. Definitely will be his debut for Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment this Sunday when he challenges Jimmy Rave. I almost said Jimmy Day. Jimmy Rave for the Georgia Wrestling Crown, which is their heavyweight title. So he may be adding another title to his collection on Sunday at an event that Sabu is scheduled to headline, I believe, with taking on Murder One. But I don't know if you've read any of the reports of Sabu's recent shenanigans, but hopefully he will still be part of the show and behave himself before and after.
from all I'm seeing, they're all points go. So Murder One does not seem to be dissuaded by we'll call it hotel etiquette of Sabu.
Yeah,
and I don't know. Maybe if you're wrestling Murder One, that's kind of where that's the place you got to get into.
Right. So yeah, do you have any more info about JT Dunn before he calls in?
Nothing. I don't think nothing we've touched on. He's he's a name that's getting bigger and bigger. Anytime we sit around and talk shop, he's a name that comes up from most of the guys. People certainly are starting to know who he is. And, you know, with the resume he has, CZW is not just any old place. FIP is the same way. So those are definitely the places you are, and then you're probably not there very long before someone on the next rung up the ladder notices you. So.
Right.
And AWE's got their finger on that pulse pretty well. That's the kind of guy they look for, and they've had a lot of success with getting some great matches out of those guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Cedric Alexander was at their last show, and I believe he's going to be at this one as well. So that's kind of the direction they're going with things, is bringing in bigger name indie talent and exposing them to Georgia fans. So definitely appreciative of that. But on that note, let's go ahead and bring him on the show. Welcome to the show, JT Dunn. Welcome to the Joe as well. How are you tonight?
I'm great, man. How y'all doing?
Doing all right. Glad to have you. Well, I don't know if you heard
our introduction. I think that was the first time I've ever had my theme song play to intro me into an interview. That was a first for me.
Oh, cool. Well, we try to spice things up as much as we can here on Georgia Wrestling Now.
We talk about that exclusively in our production meetings all the time. Like, what can we do to get more theme music going, played better?
I think that one stays. I like that.
We're talking about getting a curtain, too. So at the appropriate moment of the entrance music, you can really make your entrance.
Yeah, wait for that kick, man. You got to wait for that kick.
So, JT Dunn, are you still the Juice, or are you professional wrestling savior, or are you that new knockout kid, or are you a little bit of all?
It's a fun combination of them all. The Juice is something that's always going to be with me. Professional wrestling savior, I've kind of adapted that over the last 2 years. They started saying it, and I just rolled with it.
Well, I guess that's not a nickname you'd want to shun at all.
No, not at all. And it's cool, too, because my mentor, Chris Hero, was the savior of professional wrestling a couple of years back. So it's cool to have that comparison.
Absolutely. So, yeah, we were talking about most of your accomplishments are in the tag team world. Are you still holding any tag team titles currently?
Currently, no. I lost every single one of them. But, yeah, it was a fun ride winning all those belts. It kind of just came out of nowhere, and it just started happening. And we've got more and more exposure. And it was cool because at the same time we got to travel and stuff, we made – like independent wrestling history, for whatever that's worth. I mean, to me, that's cool. But we're the only team, aside from the Briscoes, who did it in 2002, to ever hold the CZW and FIP World Tag Titles, which I thought was pretty cool because if the Briscoes did it, man, and to have a comparison to anybody in tag wrestling, that's a pretty good one.
That ain't bad company to keep.
Not at all.
Well, you're currently tagging with Chris Hero, correct?
That is correct.
But your partner for those tag title reigns was not him. Is that right?
No, I didn't team with Hero then. That Hero and I became a team towards the back end of the Juicy product when I was teaming with David Starr. And Hero kind of stepped into, I don't think realized he was going to play the mentor role at first, and then it just kind of worked, and we just clicked, and things just took off.
Yeah,
it was like a romantic movie.
Chris Hero is kind of a guy that mentors by proxy to a lot of guys. Is there something you can point to specifically about Chris that stands out, that guys always, you know, independent wrestlers, he's always on their list of guys that influenced them, or is their favorite, or just a guy they want to be like? What is it about Chris that makes him reach wrestlers so well?
I think different things apply to different people. For me, I love the fact that people who watch wrestling don't interpret a professional wrestler as being intelligent. You show them what you think they want to see with using your brain. And I always thought that I'm an intelligent person outside of the ring. Why would that be any different inside the ring? So things that I look for are just every fine detail, and Chris has mastered them. From footwork to just the transitioning that he has in the ring, the placement, and just knowing what emotion needs to be in every scenario, because he's encountered them all. I think initially that's what caught me and captivated me, and then the style of wrestling that he used blended with my background outside of wrestling. So it just made it easier for me to learn that style first and transition into the rest of the different styles, but that's the one that's always that stuck with me, and I love to throw down.
And to that point, do you think that guys make a mistake sometimes that once they get the Hero style down, they just kind of, all right, I got it. Chris Hero does this, I'm going to do this. Do you think that ends up holding a lot of guys back, or at least sort of muddies the waters if there's 15 guys that look the same on every indie card?
Yeah, you know, and I think that's what separates good wrestlers, bad wrestlers, and Chris Hero's is when you're interpreting somebody else's technique and style, that's what works best for them. You're not supposed to entirely take what they do or what they've perfected and just hone it yourself, because if it's meant for them, it's not necessarily going to be meant for you in the same way that you're going to portray it. So to adapt different styles and adapt different things that maybe a person does, and adjusting it all to make it work for what you do, who you are, and what you're capable of. I think that's what separates Chris from all those other guys, and I think that's what's helped separate me from a bunch of the other guys and be in the same level as Chris, I guess, in that aspect, with him teaching me constantly so I can be better and better.
One of the things that separated you from me personally, just watching your matches, and this is tiny, but I think it's indicative of what makes somebody really start to get it. I mean, when you get snap-mared, you get snap-mared. like, that is the cleanest, crispest way to be snap-mared that I've seen in some time. But, like, little things like that, what is
all
it?
About
is,
the
it is it just, are you watching tape, or is it just, you know, like you said, just being really smart about every little thing has to make sense and has to mean something that makes something that small be that important?
I'm pretty much, I try to be a perfectionist. I know not everything is always going to go the way it's planned or the way it's supposed to. And I thrive in those moments when you just have to freestyle and just do your thing. But I think just I wanted to be perfect at so many different things. I never realized that I would be able to interpret wrestling so fast the way that I did. So I've been able to take all these little tactics, let's say from MMA, boxing, even when I played football, there's things I learned there, and I just transition all of these into wrestling, into what I believe is like a perfect storm where I can do anything required of me, but people are always going to remember the way I bounced around the ring, the way I sold like Rocky Balboa, just my interpretation of what a fight should be. And I work hard on all those things before I worry about the 450s and all that stuff.
Man, that's just good to hear. So good to hear. You mentioned kind of taking from MMA, taking from this, taking from that. Do you think that maybe MMA may be as big an influence on what will be professional wrestling in the future as, you know, Roddy Piper was, or, you know, some of the guys that that we that wrestlers have traditionally idolized. Do you think that in the future they're going to be looking at MMA guys that same way?
I mean, to a degree, I think the worst thing for wrestling is for it to be compared to MMA. It's two different worlds.
Absolutely.
And not because one's real and one's allegedly fake. They're just two different things, and mm-hmm. you can't compare them. And once you do, you've already lost any argument that you think you have. I think in professional wrestling, there's people who forget that it's professional wrestling and want to be an MMA fighter just mm-hmm. because. I think those people are more defective in wrestling than I think MMA being compared to it at all. Because if you're in professional wrestling, you should know better. Or somebody should tell you better that it's not MMA. If you want MMA, you can go and do MMA. Don't try to bring it. I mean, there's guys who can nail it, who have such a smooth combination of what a fighting style like MMA, for example, like a Kyle O'Reilly, who is just absolutely amazing at bringing that shoot style of fighting into professional wrestling. But when people try to imitate him, it's just very, very embarrassing because there's only going to be one Kyle O'Reilly and we have 140,000 people all going here and beating the bejesus out of each other because it's pro wrestling and it's really, and for them it is, but in reality it's not.
Who were some of the people, I know we talked about Hero, who were some of the other people that kind of brought you, made you want to be in the business?
Growing up, man, I wasn't really a wrestling fan. So I never got hooked on everything until way after it was cool. I was so focused on playing football and boxing and everything like that that I never really gave it much attention. But even in me being passive towards it, the Macho Man Randy Savage is probably my greatest inspiration to want to be a wrestler ever. And I don't think there'll ever be anything that would take that spot. I've just idolized him forever, and he's the Macho Man. So,
right.
But once I started really, I didn't really watch like independent wrestling or even know it was a thing until the year I started training for wrestling, which was about 2007. And then I was introduced to a bunch of just tapes and DVDs and stuff like that. But I was handed VHSs, Hero and Punk, and it was just such a beautiful way to watch professional wrestling that I just kind of was like, all right, I want to be like these guys and I want to do what they're doing because look how invested these people are. Look how much these people care about them just walking to the ring or just being in the ring or even having their face on a flyer. Like people are going to show up because they know what they can do. I want to have that same effect. So I just watched a lot of Punk and a lot of Hero and it just happened that they turned out to be who they turned out to be years down the line. So I followed in some pretty decent footsteps in working it out. But I think those three are definitely some of my top guys. And then I think everybody has to throw in the Flair, Michaels, Jericho.
Right.
And so I think once you start understanding wrestling, I think that's when you throw in the guys who are always going to be underrated in comparison, like the Jerichos, the Steamboats, and stuff like that. But everybody's always going to say, like Hogan or Shawn. I never really was a Hogan fan, but definitely Shawn.
And I'd imagine on some of those same VHSs you subbed, the man you're wrestling here in Atlanta, Jimmy Rave, what are your thoughts on that match?
Man, I'm really excited. It's cool because when I started watching independent wrestling and came across Jimmy's older stuff, Ring of Honor, TNA, all that, it's just like one of them guys where it's like, oh, man, it'd be cool if I got to get in there and throw down with him, but you never think it's gonna happen. And as a wrestler, we all have those things where it's like, oh, man, it'd be really cool. If it happens, it'd be great. If not, like something to strive towards. And Jimmy's definitely been on that list. He's definitely helped innovate a lot of things in wrestling, and now it's cool that he's down there doing the savior of Atlanta wrestling entertainment. And that's for now. That's because my debut isn't set until Sunday. So it'll be interesting to become the new savior of Georgia wrestling as a whole. But it's cool, man. I'm excited. I know what he's capable of, and I've heard that him and Cedric really went at each other. So I'm looking for a fight. I'm ready. That's the benefit of people not seeing me in that area is they don't know what I'm capable of. They can only hear it through here or what I put on Facebook and Twitter. But it's the real deal, and I'm gonna beat the shit out of Jimmy Rave.
I like a clear-cut, definitive answer. I'll give you a free piece of warning. You know, you've been kind enough to come in here and talk with us, so I'll give you this bit for free. Jimmy's in prime condition.
Love it.
You know, Jimmy's always been good. Jimmy's always been great. But he is laser-focused at this point. I don't think, you know, it will be – we have end-of-the-year awards here, and I would be very shocked if Jimmy was not the wrestler of the year here in Georgia. So you're not getting Jimmy's past his prime, Jimmy's best days are behind him. You're getting the cream of the crop, Jimmy Rave. So prepare accordingly.
There's nothing I would want more than Jimmy at 100%. I don't want the Jimmy that I watched in his 2005 YouTube clips or anything like that. I don't want it down and out. I think wrestling is done for me, Jimmy Rave.
Mm-hmm.
I want Jimmy Rave who's going to get punched in the mouth and punch right back. And
yeah.
From what I hear, that's what I'm going to be getting. And what you just said, I expect it now. But he needs to understand that I'm going to take his title. I'm going to embarrass him in front of all the fans, all his friends, however many there might be, probably like two. But I'm going to beat him in front of all of those people. And it's going to be fantastic for him to hand over a championship. Time to let go, Jimmy.
And you're no stranger from walking into what, just like Sunday, will be a hostile environment. Your CZW debut.
Oh, yeah, man.
I watched that match not too long ago. And, you know, that CZW, you never know what that crowd is going to decide they want that night.
Yep.
And some nights, if you're not bleeding a gusher in the lockup, it's just not going to work for you.
For sure.
But you got in there, and you guys wrestled a clean, well-fought, well-psychologied wrestling match. Did you think that would be the reaction you got just from doing that match?
I wouldn't say that match in particular, but do I have that feeling when I go to the ring? Absolutely. I was on my toes knowing what the CZW fans were capable of and how many, and especially because leading into my debut there, I had met a bunch of people who had made their first debuts at CZW along the way, and the crowd ate them alive, and it ruined everything for them. And it didn't matter how much buzz or how much hype they came in with, that crowd could take that all away. And I had worked so hard to get to that point, to get to that level, to help myself advance, that if that crowd, like no matter what wrestling performance I put on, if that crowd turned on me and they just didn't appreciate what I was doing, that I would never work there. And then it wasn't really until I got to the building and I started feeling out the atmosphere, and I just was like, you know what, I'm going to make it here for what I do. I'm not going to change anything for anybody. I'm going to do what got me in this door in the first place. And everything just kind of worked in my favor that night, and my plan, everything went well. I mean, some things didn't go well, but we were able to make it all smooth, and that's one of my favorite parts is being able to, and we were able to do that night. And as soon as and I remember legitimately DJ telling us both, whoever the crowd appreciated more would get a full-time like deal at CZW and be booked every month. And for both of us at that time, that was a big deal. For me, it was breaking out of my area in New England and getting on iPay-per-view full-time, not just here and there. And for him, it was like he was so fast into wrestling that he shouldn't have been working at that level as soon as he did. And we walked through the curtain to Please Come Back chants, and DJ standing there, and he was just like, oh, damn, now I got to keep you both. And that was kind of what we wanted. We wanted to prove everybody wrong because CZW is the place where they take care of their own. And if you don't bleed for CZW, you won't last very long there.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to bleed literally. I mean, eventually everybody does. It happens, man. There's just that atmosphere, it brings it out, and everybody wants to fight. But yeah, you have to earn your spot there. And like, if you don't want to bleed for CZW, man, they'll make sure you're gone real fast.
Yeah,
that's crazy. But yeah, I don't think I ever expected to wrestle David Starr like at Tangled Web in my CZW debut, and for that crowd to be as appreciative as it was, to answer the question.
Yeah.
I anticipated it and I hoped for it, but I didn't expect it as much as I would if I went to a crowd that I knew I was playing more to my style with.
Jonathan, I feel like I've been monopolizing the time with Mr. Dunn here. I'm going to open the door.
Well, that's all right. You asked many of the questions I was going to ask, but I would like to get back to the match on Sunday with Jimmy Rave. It sounds like you've never faced him previously. So,
never.
But you have, you know, the names you mentioned earlier, he is often up there with those, you know, CM Punk and Chris Hero, and as one of those guys that,
for sure,
you know, was a huge name in the indie world, and he did have some time in TNA and Ring of Honor. But how much of an influence would you say he's been on you as a wrestler?
I don't know how much of an exact like percentage I could put to it. Definitely some, because that's the style and the interpretation of wrestling that I always crave. So it was something I definitely looked into the majority of the time. That's a tough question, because it's so much dominated by other people that it'd be hard to just give it an accurate description for what I'm looking for. But, I mean, definitely some. And that's what makes it even cooler, is that you get to go in there and, like, share the ring with somebody who you watch tape of to be better at wrestling, and here you are trying to show them that they're so good at what they do that it helped you professional wrestling.
Right. Aside from, obviously, you know, gunning for that title that he has, is there any history there, or was it just a matter of someone from AWE contacted you, or you contacted them and wanted to wrestle, or how did the whole thing come about?
I remember sending in a resume not too long ago, because I have friends from the area that had recommended going down there, and if I wanted to go have some good wrestling in Atlanta, that was one of the spots to go. So I sent my stuff in, and then I was down in North Carolina for another show over at PWX, and that's where everything kind of got rolling, and I worked with ACH that night and did well. So immediately after, I was put in contact to set a date and come in and work for AWE, but I wasn't notified on what it would be exactly until it started getting posted publicly, and that's when I found out that it would be the winner of Cedric and Jimmy Rave, which ended up being Jimmy Rave.
Well, you were pretty good either way.
Yeah, well, Jimmy Rave would have been – I've never wrestled Cedric before, and I've never wrestled Jimmy. So either way, it would have been a cool
really?
First time I ever met.
It just seems like in the cosmic universe, you and Cedric certainly would have crossed paths somewhere. But
you would think that.
We
cross paths often on similar shows, but
mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody's ever thought to put it together, which they're completely missing out, because
yeah,
we would just do some things that professional wrestling clearly isn't ready for yet.
It seems pretty elementary. But, you know, with Cedric will be at the show on Sunday, I do believe, so that could be happening sooner than later.
Yeah, he can be on the belt after I knock out Jimmy.
Fighting champion.
Well, I believe
the fighting champion.
I believe the the match that he's in is a seven-man scramble or of some sort. Whoever wins that becomes
man.
The number one contender.
He's made.
There you go.
But he's got some competition there. He's got a lot of, I think anybody that's in that match and whoever wins your match with Jimmy Rave it'll be a great match down the road at some point, because I don't remember exactly who all is in that, but I know Cedric Alexander's in it. Let me see if I can find
Perfect.
It since
it's
we're
all,
talking
it's all
about
need.
It.
Just because it can end up being me and Cedric then.
It's certainly going to be a big time event. Murder One and Sabu are also on that. So
how crazy!
The work's going to be cut out for you to steal that show. I'll give you that much.
Yeah, it looks like. But again, I wouldn't have it any other way. I thrive in those situations, just like I know Cedric does, and I absolutely know that Jimmy does. Is when your back's against the wall and you need to deliver, you go out there and you do better than they anticipated. And then that's what keeps everybody talking.
Have you had a chance in front of that PWG crowd yet?
I'm not to wrestle there. I went there when I was in L.A. to watch a Mystery Vortex show, but I've never performed there. Not yet.
Again, not yet. It's just give it a minute.
Just wait. Soon.
This is going to be your debut in Georgia, correct?
That is correct.
So, obviously, AWE is a little different from most Georgia promotions. I think, you know, it's more along the lines of PWX and some of the stuff that you're familiar with. But in general, Southern audiences and Georgia audiences are much different than the crowds you typically work in front of, and they have different expectations and don't often know what to do with the faster paced stuff that like what you do. Like I said, AWE is a little bit of an exception there, but
yeah.
Have you heard anything, you know, from other wrestlers that wrestle in Georgia? I know PWX, a lot of Georgia guys wrestle up there. So has anybody given you any tips or anything or just anything to, you know, what are you expecting basically from your debut in Georgia as far as the audience goes?
Oh, well, they're going to chant, "This is awesome, this is awesome," for sure. It's the same thing like I was saying about my CZW debut. I'm not going to change anything that I do regularly. I'm just going to go be myself, do what I do, and if they love me, they love me, and if they hate me, well, then they're only going to be Jimmy Ray if I'm going to beat them for the belt.
Give them something to hate.
I want to fire him up. I want everybody to be fired up, man. It's going to be great. I like winning belts in my debut. I've done it several times. And I've beat some of the best wrestlers in the world on debuts for their belts. Just when everybody thinks they're safe, they think the new guy is going to come in, he's going to lose, this guy isn't going anywhere, he lives here. Oh, no, man. I'm the guy who spoils all that. I come in, I take your belt, and I stay. It's my house now.
Pattern disruption. That's a good move. Go ahead. Get it all done.
Or how do you want to guarantee the fans are going to see you again? That you can go out there and something could happen. You win that belt, you're back.
Yeah. I mean, AWE certainly can't have their champion not wrestling there and just staying up in the Northeast.
Right. So I just got to win the belt.
Who are some of the guys that you've defeated in your debut for title matches or for titles?
When we defeated the Beaver Boys for the CZW tag titles in our debut show in Providence, and it was our first time working then for CZW, and we beat them first time we went up against the belts, and then a week later, we debuted and wrestled Roderick Strong and Rich Swann for the tag titles, and we beat them, which was a great match that I think that I wish was something that was online more, because I'm a huge fan of Roddy, and I love Rich Swann, and I just think more people should be able to see what we did with them, because I think it was cool, and it was a cool moment. For FIP and CZW to allow something like that to happen, because we all know how wrestling is and it can be stupid sometimes. That was one of the things that everybody was on page and everybody kind of did what they needed to make it happen, and that was a cool little debut there. But man, the list goes on and on. I'm going into my eighth year, and I'm only 25, man. Still young. I'm excited for everything. Still so much more. It's one of the things where when you first start out, you never think that you're going to be able to do so much. And at first it seems like it's taking forever. And then once you understand what wrestling is really about, it just kind of takes off and you get to have fun. I'm just going to keep having fun, especially winning that belt.
Have you held any singles titles yet?
Yes, for a bunch of different places. I would expand, especially in New England. There's so much professional wrestling in New England, and it's such a small area that so many different promotions pop up because everybody has their own interpretation of wrestling. So there's a lot of belts come around. But let me think of one that's really cool. I had some cool title defenses after I won a championship, the United States Championship for a place, New England Frontier Wrestling. I think now they changed their name to Revival Pro Wrestling, and they're running in Chicopee, Massachusetts. But it was cool because I got to wrestle Eddie Edwards, Chuck Taylor, Johnny Gargano was another one. Who else would I wrestle there? A.R. Fox all the time. So like guys like that, it was cool to be the champion there because I got to wrestle with the best. And that was one of the first places that really brought in superstars outside of their promotion. And when they did, I got to go learn from them. And that helped me really get out of my area. But my debut there, I also won that championship, which was pretty cool.
So, yeah, I guess you got anything else, Matt, before we let JT go?
I think we're good to go. Excellent talking to you, man. It was really easy. They're not always this easy, JT.
You guys had fun questions, interesting things to talk about. Some of them can be real painful.
Cuts both ways.
I appreciate it. Anytime, man. Maybe we can do this again when I come back next month as the champion.
To defend your newly won.
My newly won.
Well, we do have a good record here, Matt. Oftentimes when we have someone on the show, they end up winning whatever big match they're scheduled for the next week or two later. So hopefully that'll bring you some luck.
Now it's meant to be.
Yeah, or
jungle
or
karma. As Jim Rome used to call it, it's jungle karma.
For fans in Georgia, of course, they can see you on Sunday for Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment at Legacy/Quad. You can find out more about it at AtlantaWrestlingEntertainment.com or on Facebook. But where else can people see you in the coming weeks? Where can they find you online? You know, all of that kind of stuff.
Online, you can Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff. Search JT Dunn, and you'll see my handsome face pop up. Actually, the night before I head to Atlanta, I'm in Philadelphia, I'm at the Flyer Escape Zone in New Jersey for CZW, since we were talking about it. And then I'll be popping up all around the country in the coming weeks. But I really haven't let my brain get that far yet. I'm focused on Sunday. It's an important match for me, just coming back from some time off. So it's been good getting back into the swing of things, and I think this match is right at the perfect time in wrestling for me. So it's going to be a lot of fun to go all out for the first time in a very long time. So I'm excited for that. But yeah, check me out on social media. I have my YouTube, a bunch of free matches, clips. I have my own YouTube show where I just kind of document my life. I've been getting back at it now that I'm back on the road and then going full time. Just check it out, man. But yeah, I'm seeing me in Atlanta. I'm seeing me at AWE. I'm seeing me just deliver death by elbow to Jimmy Rave in front of his family. It's going to be splendid.
Do you have a website?
Yeah, you can go to jtdunn.net. All my information is on there. Anything that I stated before, you can find quick links to there, and everything's connected.
All right. Cool. Well, looking forward to the match on Sunday for sure, and appreciate you calling in.
Hey, thank you guys.
All right. We will talk to you later.
Take care, guys.
All right. You too.
Bye.
All right. So, Matt, where will you be this weekend?
I do believe Shane Marks and I will be plying our services in Locust Grove, making our NWA Atlanta return.
So, yeah, that brings to something I was going to bring up earlier. You just revealed something very nonchalantly. Yeah. So, DeWitt Dawson, you know, I have stood up for Matt Hankins, defended you against being DeWitt Dawson, just the uncanny resemblance. All not, Matt.
It got so hard to lead two separate lives, Jonathan. It just got very hard. When I put that hat on, something just happened.
Well, I've seen it. I've seen it happen. It's happened on this show. You even worked me. You interviewed yourself.
I did it. I pulled it off. I pulled off the greatest trick that Dever ever pulled was convincing the world it didn't exist.
All right. So that's NWA Atlanta on Saturday, you said?
That is right. Uh-huh.
There's a lot going on Saturday. Let me see what I'm trying to remember. I am looking at gwhnewsandnotes.blogspot.com under upcoming events for anyone else who wants to see what all is coming up. But seems like there was another one. I guess that was the one I was thinking of, actually. So,
we're into the first weekend, right, without Anarchy. Is that right? Because we had a fifth weekend that was ROH weekend here, and so we entered our first weekend, which would have been the off week for them. So, yeah, there's a bit of a gap there on the second and fourth weekend and Saturday. So I guess, you know, the doors are open for somebody to step up and grab hold of that time slot.
Yeah, absolutely. So do you know what's going on? UIW by chance? I've seen some stuff, and I figured we could get some of the call in.
I'm going to not weigh in just because it's wrestling. But as a man who has been fired by UIW before, I know it can happen.
Yeah. Well, it has been reported officially by Larry Goodman that AJ Steele and Pandora were fired, I guess, after Saturday's event. I don't know the circumstances. I do know that Steele lost the heavyweight championship, so at least they didn't fire their champion.
Again.
Yeah. So, and I saw some postings from certain people saying they're no longer involved in their capacity that they used to be and things like that. So I guess we'll just have to find out. We'll do some digging.
It's our traditional September UIW blow up. It's great.
Is it an annual event now?
It's an annual event.
All right. Well, anyway, that's all we got this week. I don't know who the guest will be next week yet, so I'll announce that sometime between now and we could do that. You know how to get in touch with him better than I do. So see if you want to put the hat on, take it off, put it on, take it off. But yeah, anyway, we will figure out who next week's guest is. I'm still recovering from Dragon Con, so I haven't really thought that far ahead. But anyway, great show. Welcome back, Matt. Next week it should be me, you, and Charles. So that'll be interesting. And I know we will have some sort of official announcement about what's going on in Cornelia in the coming weeks. So I don't know if that'll be next week or not, but it will be soon. Other than that, just check out wrestlingwithpopculture.com and Georgia Wrestling History to find out who next week's guest will be. And that's it for now. So everybody have a great week. Happy Labor Day. And we'll talk to you next Monday.
Thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com for the latest information on upcoming events and more. As always, we thank you for your continued support.